We'll run part two of ISDN in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is a RAIN replay. From the Mid-South studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Integrated Services Digital Networks created a technological revolution in voice and data communications back in 1990. No longer was the telephone limited to one channel for voice and data. ISDN changed all that. BRI, Basic Rate Interface, allowed the use of two voice channels and one data channel simultaneously over the same copper paired customers used to stay connected to the local phone company. PRI, Primary Rate Interface, permitted 23 voice channels and a 24th that could handle the control of the voice ones. RAIN's Hap Holly, KC9RP, spoke with two Chicago-area ISDN experts of the time. One was Rich Belcastro, formerly N9JGP, now WV9B, manager of voice and data networks for the McDonald's Corporation in Oak Brook, Illinois. The other was Ted Kakatos, N9IXE, a development engineer and consultant with AT&T at the time in suburban Naperville. This is our second and final installment of HAP's 1990 interview about ISDN. The first to speak is Rich Belcastro.
I want to just spend a couple of seconds on primary rate interface. There's also a primary rate interface. That's 24 channels, 23 Bs and 1 D. Each B, again, is 64 KB, and in this case, the D is also 64 KB because you need to put the control information on the D channel for each of the other 23 channels. Okay, so it's also a higher speed channel. Its application and use is more of a business, a computer, where you've got many BRIs that are coming in, they're doing their thing, and they need to go back out on the public network, so it might go out on the public network again in a PRI. In fact, it uses, if anybody's familiar with the telephone business, it could utilize the T1 infrastructure. In fact, the actual data rate for the PRI is 1.54 megabits per second, made up of, again, 24 channels. It's sometimes referred to as 23B plus D, heavily used in businesses. At this point, that's about the definition you can get out in this short kind of an interview. Let's give some examples. BRI to the desktop. Again, I gave an example where you could be sitting there talking to somebody, and on the other end, he's got a problem with his computer. You're the service manager. He called you up, you're talking to him, and you want to see his screen. How do you see his screen? Well, you go over to your computer, and you're talking to him on the first B channel using PCM. On the second B channel, you're going to work something out where you're seeing his screen. And on the D channel, you might want to control the screens on his end that you're going to see on the B channel. You'll use it over the D channel. And you're all doing this over two pairs of wires.
As opposed to traditionally, if I'm having a problem with my modem, I have to use a second phone line to call the guy on the other end and say, okay, what do I do?
And you're still limited. Here, you, not only do you have the two appearances, the two Bs, but you also got the D to do some stuff. Here's another example. It's called ANI, Automatic Number Identification. American Express is using ISDN for this purpose. ANI means when you dial over the network, your voice from your telephone at home, it will carry along the D channel your telephone number. So if you're going to dial American Express to get some information on your account, your telephone number, whatever it is, your 10 digits, will go into a computer on their end over the D channel, and that computer will say, ah, I'm going to send Hap Holly's telephone number into my computer as an index and have his account flip right on a screen in front of the customer service rep before the customer service rep asks you what your name is.
So he or she knows who you are.
Before you even talk to he or she's picking up the phone.
Another example of ANI, automatic number identification, is where when you pick up your phone at home and call 911, the telephone company supplies your phone number to the police department over that data channel.
Continuing on and finishing up with, we finished the definition now, and we gave a couple of examples. ANI was a good one. American Express is finding out that they've saved 33% of their customer service staff by using ANI. They don't have to waste time and say, what's your account number? Salespeople are using it because when a customer calls from his business location, they can say, hi, Charlie. Hey, by the way, how'd you like that Beaujolais wine or something like that? They remember what the guy's got. You know, they have a whole database about his client. He can warm up to him right away.
What really is sad about that is that the general public who doesn't know about this stuff is going to be duped into thinking, this insurance man is really a friendly guy. He gives me personalized service.
Yeah, right.
And it's all bogus. It's all a joke.
It's all created by technology. Another example is ANI from a payphone. Somebody might say, what good is an ANI from a payphone? Well, let's suppose you have problems with your car and you call up your particular gasoline card service. That ANI will go into their database and they'll be able to tell you the three service stations in the area to serve you like this, because they have that public phone number on the database in the computer, and because of ISDN, it carried the automatic number identification into the computer as an index.
Now, suppose the ANI tied in with voice synthesis is going to be putting people out of work.
Well, I don't believe computers or any of the technology puts people out of work. I believe it creates more jobs for them. It changes the marketplace. You realize if we didn't have dial phones today, a phone call between here and across the street would be $87 if we did not put the technology in place. That's, it was a recent calculation by AT&T. A simple phone would be $87 because of all the salaries that have gone up and the people that would have been involved to plug the little plugs into the holes, and now it's all a computer. So that was another business example. I think I mentioned how we use it at McDonald's. We'd have a lot of simultaneous voice and data calls go on. Our next adventure into this is video. We are doing some slow scan video on one B channel, voice on the second B channel, and we're doing the control of the cameras for the video monitoring over the D channel.
So that has great implications for surveillance.
Surveillance, you got it. How's it going to be used for the home? Meter reading. The meters in your house are going to be read while you're sleeping over the D channel with a simple packet. And there's companies today being set up in the country that are making big bucks. They're going to charge like 25 cents a packet to read everybody's meter. And they're going to put all the meter readers out of business. Yes, they'll put the meter readers out of business. But hopefully they'll get better jobs.
I would like to say something quick to defend ISDN. Many of the examples being given are already being done around the country, around the world, via other means of technology. ISDN is just the new catchphrase, the new standard on how everybody is going to be connected up around the country.
Yeah. Now, how you take advantage of it is another story. See, to me, this presents an opportunity for entrepreneurs in the software business. You can write programs for your PC that are going to do something with this. I mean, there's going to be lots of entrepreneurial businesses that are going to stem from ISDN, just like they did from divestiture. Entrepreneurial business with tape machines and cordless phones and whatnot.
You're listening to an interview Raines Happali, KC9RP, conducted in 1990 on the topic of ISDN, Integrated Services Digital Network Technology. He spoke with Rich Belcastro, formerly N9JGP, now WV9B, and Ted Kakatos, N9IXE, both ISDN experts 26 years ago in Chicago. We'll conclude Hap's conversation with Rich and Ted in a moment. This is the RAIN Report, accessible 24/7 on therainreport.com, on Twitter at @therainreport, and via iTunes. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Let's talk about amateur radio. The repeater has a phone patch, right? It's a business line. Now you buy it, $20 a month, let's say, plus usage. You can get an ISDN line, still one line. I think it runs about $30 a month. And now maybe you could have the 2-meter access and the 440 access both do a call simultaneously.
The control operators for repeaters, they are already having to pay the bill for sometimes multiple phone lines.
Right.
For a little bit of premium, they could get an ISDN line. Of course, there is the one-time charge for the new telephone equipment. You can't use analog phones on ISDN.
So all the control phones and all the control ops have would have to be replaced as well.
Or you get your phone with a terminal adapter. They have terminal adapters, but the best way to do it is you get an ISDN phone.
And what kind of costs do those run for?
I think we at McDonald's probably paid, $400. I'm talking about a phone now with a screen. See, when people call me in my business now, I see their phone number as I pick up the phone. So if I see somebody calling me and it's not my boss, I don't even answer the phone because I don't want to talk to Charlie,
That's ANI.
That's ANI.
This technology is wonderful, but it's not really economical yet.
It's economical. The bigger problem is ubiquitousness. It's got to be everywhere. before you can really start using it. For example, if I'm going to take advantage of BRI, for a BRI for call out and a simple repeater operation, we can do that. But if you wanted to do something fancy with RTTY and simultaneous voice, the guy on the other end has to have access to ISDN. Now, the world is growing ISDN very rapidly. I would guess 10 to 20% of the central offices are ISDN or more. It's probably closer to 40. Not that everybody's buying it yet. I mean, McDonald's was a pioneer and a leader in getting involved with ISDN. And I think what you're going to see in the next couple of years is more personal home use of BRI, or a basic rate interface.
Let's look for some more applications for amateur radio, if you can.
I think before we start grasping at some advanced functions, let's just think in terms of the basic function.
Okay.
It allows you to get onto the RTTY circuit and the voice circuit, which we do right now from our current positions at home, either a computer or your normal radio. It allows you to do that simultaneously. You can do it to the same location and do things where you need to have that information simultaneously. It allows you to maybe send some packets over the D channel to control something on the other end. So now we have to start expanding our ideas.
Here's an idea. If you're a Newsline, or in case of Rain, where we have on the shelf here an answering machine, obviously when someone calls to listen to this week's Rain dial-up service, that ties up that line. Nobody else can pass data, or no one else can call in to hear the same report. So theoretically, you could have two answer machines tying up your two B lines.
Yep, I think you hit another one.
Can that D channel be interfaced with a decoder arrangement on the two answer machines? And the decoder would tell one answer machine, the person on the other B line wants to rewind you.
It's all how you design the terminal adapter. Therein lies my comment about the entrepreneurial businesses that are going to pop up. You find a need or an application, it'll be there. Some little operation is going to invent a little piece of hardware to do it, or a software program in your PC to do that stuff. More typically, I see it as a software program to do that.
Again, ISDN is just the standard by which the data is conveyed. And today, you can go out and buy PC boards that plug into your clone that will connect up into the ISDN data network. Then it's up to you to write a program as to what to do with the data flowing over the channels. You could write an application to operate on your PC where you could connect up tape recorders, like you said, for your Rain dial-up service, connect up the tape recorders to your PC. The computer will control the PCs and allow multiple callers to call in over ISDN channels and listen to the recording. All the control information would travel over the data channel.
Imagine what this would do for like a teleconference, business-wise or amateur radio. We have our national teleconferences, which go through the Honeywell, Jerome Bridge, and Minneapolis. It can facilitate 200 different lines. Imagine with ISDN, you can increase that capacity. Well, you double it and more.
You hit another good point that businesses are using it for teleconferencing where they're doing the picture over the one B channel and the voice over another B channel.
The picture telephone is here.
Is here. They tried it, 10, 15 years ago? It dropped. Now it's going to be here because it's going to be economical and it'll work over the existing infrastructure. So in summary, it's a standard, as Ted said. It's higher speed, 64 kb on the B channel and 16 on the D channel. It's a large pipe for the PRI, where you have many of these channels that you need. It's a more home-oriented channel for the basic rate. So you have, on the basic rate, you have the three appearances, the two Bs and the one D. It's bitstream data that you would either use for converting back to pictures or fax or voice, because PCM is bitstream. It's packet data. You have a packet capability either on the B channel or the D channel. It's control. It gives the control into the hands of the user. It's ANI, automatic number identification. Another big thing that we didn't touch on, but it's on-demand bandwidth. Maybe you need 5B channels. Well, you'll be able to go into your central office with the D-channel control from your simple house and say, I want to go out over 5B channels or something. So you grab a larger bandwidth that you may need for. It's a dynamic bandwidth allocation. It's here. It's exciting having this opportunity to get it out to amateur radio people because I think they're very creative, and I think that that community will start thinking about some ways to use ISDN.
This concludes our look at the evolution of ISDN, Integrated Services Digital Network Technology, that changed communications technology as we knew it back in 1990. Rains Hapali, KC9RP, spoke with two Chicago area ISDN experts, Rich Belcastro, formerly N9JGP, now WV9B, manager of voice and data networks for the McDonald's Corporation in 1990 in Oak Brook, Illinois, and Ted Kikatos, N9IXE, a development engineer and consultant with AT&T at that time in suburban Naperville. So where will communications technology go between now and 2040? Only time will tell. The Rain Report is copyright 1990, 2016, Rain. All rights are reserved. Now for the rest of the Rain Report staff, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com, at The Rain Report on Twitter, and somewhere on iTunes.